The actual system itself is not very complex. It looks very similar to a traditional farrowing crate, but all we've done is remove those, quite high, enormous restrictive bars that obviously are only 600 mil wide, and that's really do stop the sow from being able to turn around. So all she can do is get up and lie down. We've taken that away and just replaced it with a oval-shaped ring that's, as I said, just above floor level, which really controls the way she lies down.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Mycotoxins were found in over 90% of feed sampled in 2025. Don't let mycotoxins impact your pig's health and performance. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/fumzyme. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high quality, safe, and sustainable way. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Vaccinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Swine It podcast. I'm Tara Donovan, your host, and today I have as my guest Dr. Kate Plush. Kate is the Science, Technology, and Adoption Manager at the Sunport Group. Welcome to the Swine It podcast, Kate.
Thank you, Tara.
So today on our show, we're going to be discussing a really interesting topic. I think you guys are all going to love it. It's free farrowing and the maternity ring. So Kate and her team at the Sunport Group developed a cutting-edge technology, a maternity ring, and it's a significant advancement for free farrowing. Before we jump in, though, Kate, I want you to introduce yourself in a little bit more detail. Tell us about your career path to the Sunport Group.
Yeah, can do, Tara. So I completed a Doctor of Philosophy at the University of Adelaide a very long time ago. And that was actually in sheep. So it, obviously in Australia, we've got a lot more sheep than you do in America. So I worked very thoroughly in neonatal physiology and behaviour, so how to improve lamb survival rates, which then obviously transpired into me working with pigs. So pigs and lambs are very similar. They both have very similar causes of mortality. And so I just applied those skills into a different species, was granted the opportunity for a postdoc position with what was then called the Port Cooperative Research Centre, finished that in 3 years, worked for the South Australian Government for a little while as a pork reproductive physiologist, and then I've been at the Sunport Group for nearly 10 years now, which has flown past.
Yeah, great. So I had the great opportunity to spend a little bit of time with Kate and her group and learn about this. And so it's really exciting to have you on the show and to kind of share with our listeners what you guys have been up to over there in Australia. So we're going to dig into the topic of free farrowing and the maternity ring. So Kate, set the stage for us. Why did the Sunport Group start exploring farrowing crate alternatives?
Yeah, Tara, so I mentioned the Port Cooperative Research Centre, which is where I was given a postdoc very early in my career. There was a lot of money invested in that research organisation into looking at alternatives to the farrowing crate. And we trialled a vast number of them, all different prototypes and commercially available systems, usually from Europe. And what we identified was that almost all of them, whether they were truly free farrowing or whether they involved some type of temporary confinement, were not suitable for our systems. So whether that was our farrowing barns, the genotype of our pigs, the commercial actual application of them, a lot of them were a lot larger in footprint. And so what we did at that point was internalise our R&D into free farrowing, and that's where we started playing around with different ideas as to what a free farrowing system would look like for Sunport. We had four very clear remits when we started looking at different designs and trialing different prototypes. They were, we had to maintain pre-weaning survival, so we wanted similar productivity to a farrowing crate. Our staff had to feel safe in that environment. We did not want temporary confinement in any capacity, so the sows had to be free farrowing truly from entry into the farrowing house until weaning. And the last one was it had to be in a similar footprint so that we didn't actually lose farrowing spaces in our barns. So in Australia, most of our farrowing crates are 1.8 by 2.4 metres in length. So that's about 4.3 metres squared. So any free farrowing system we started exploring had to meet those four criteria.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that criteria is, you know, would be similar in conventional production, you know, in other countries, right, including the U.S. And so I think that's really important because this style of, you know, open farrowing or free farrowing, we've kind of gone through the path of, you know, open gestation, you know, no stall gestation, et cetera. And so this is now moving that into farrowing, but we already have barns, we already have footprints, we already have roofs and buildings. And so, you know, how do we get there in the farrowing side? And so to me, it was really exciting because you guys had footprint already that you had to make this work. And I think that's really the key here for a lot of our listeners.
Feed formulation software is stuck in the past. Most tools haven't evolved beyond basic least cost optimization. A Diet Forge changes that. It's an AI-powered platform with nonlinear ingredient modeling for enzymes and additives, cost per gain and maximum profit optimization, and real-time collaboration like Google Docs for nutrition. Every recommendation is grounded in world-class research, built for modern nutritionists who need more than legacy desktop software can deliver. Work seamlessly with your team and optimize the way modern operations demand. Try dietforge.ai free today. Feed formulation, finally modernized.
So excellent description. So jump then into describing a little bit more about what the farrowing ring is. So, you know, you talked to us about the path that you used in terms of looking up some of the previous work in Europe, then saying that's not necessarily going to work directly, but here's what we need to fit in our system. So, you know, continue the story for us a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, Tara. So we started exploring different designs and what we thought was a good idea for the sow at the time. So a lot of the European research was showing that sows really like to build a nest in the wild. So we were thinking really hard, dividing walls so that they felt sheltered and safe while they give birth to their piglets and rear them. But all we found with that was that basically that the ventilation was really poor. So it got really hot and stuffy when the walls were really high. But we also found that the sows were quite more flighty. So they, because they couldn't actually see and interpret what was happening in the farrowing room, they felt quite threatened, and our staff didn't feel safe working in those environments. So that was the first thing we did, was drop all those big walls down. But what we found was that the sows actually quite enjoyed having contact with one another during the process as well. So that was one of the advantages. If we then go inside, so actually inside the maternity ring, the structure is, as I mentioned, it's very similar to a farrowing crate. So it's got a corner creep where we're now providing heat lamps to attract those piglets into that warm, safe area. And then in the pen itself, all we've done is put an oval-shaped ring on a diagonal facing away from the feeder. At about, I think it's about 20 centimetres or 200 millimetres above the floor surface. And what that does is it doesn't actually prohibit the sow's ability to move. So she can step over that ring. She does. We know that they use that space quite effectively. But what it does do is control where she can lie down. So effectively, she can only lie down on the left or the right side of that ring. And we find that, you know, she really does use that ring and that space to lie down safely. When she wants to do a posture change or feed her piglets, for example. So the actual system itself is not very complex. It looks very similar to a traditional farrowing crate, but all we've done is remove those, you know, quite high, enormous restrictive bars that obviously are only 600 mil wide and that really do stop the sow from being able to turn around. So all she can do is get up and lie down. We've taken that away and just replaced it with a oval-shaped ring that's, as I said, just above floor level, which really controls the way she lies down.
Yeah, great description. You know, and I'm sorry we don't have, you know, the ability to show our audience pictures, but there is a research article published, right? And my understanding, what's the journal that it's published in case they want to, you know, grab that or reference that?
Yeah, absolutely, Tara. So the first paper that we have published is in Frontiers in Veterinary Science. And for us, the foundation paper really concentrated on showing the welfare advantages that are afforded to the sow when she can turn around and have greater interaction with her piglets. So we use the five domains framework, which really basically breaks down the nutrition, housing, behaviour, and environmental experience of those sows, and how that interacts into the fifth domain, which is mental state. And so what we did was compare those five welfare metrics in sows in a maternity ring to the farrowing crate, and we're able to demonstrate that in every single one of those domains, we had a huge improvement in sow welfare. So that's in Frontiers in Veterinary Science. We also have our second paper published now, which looks at stock people attitude, so how our staff feel working in those systems, which for us is really important. Because staff are key to making these systems work. And so if you don't have your staff on board and you don't have them being supportive of the system, I really don't think that you'll have successful uptake. And the good news is we just found out that our third paper is also will hopefully be available in the next couple of weeks, again in Frontiers in Veterinary Science, and that's looking at the productivity. So the number of piglets that the sow gives birth to in a maternity ring, and how much they wean, and importantly, what the pre-weaning survival comparison is between the maternity ring and farrowing crates. So, all three of those will hopefully be available very soon, Tara.
Yeah, great. Thank you for that. And before we jump in, I'm going to ask you a little bit more about those performance improvements, because that was one of the questions that I had. But I want to just finish up with the welfare advantages first. And so I had the opportunity again to see these in person, and I thought it was really interesting, the interaction that the sows had with each other. And so describe a little bit. You mentioned that you were able, you know, that you lowered the kind of dividing walls, partitions from each pen, you know, so you've got multiple farrowing pens in a room, just like we have multiple farrowing, you know, crate and creep areas. But the interaction that you had with those sows, because now they can, you know, go and actually interact with each other across the pens, was really interesting to see. Can you describe that and then also touch on the other welfare advantages that you want to talk about today?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, Tara, we really did drop those dividing walls down. So the solid partition is only about half a meter high, and that really is just to keep the piglets safe and contained within the pen. And then from there, we've got a very small metal bar that stops the sows from being able to jump in between the pens. And what we've done is sink those down in certain areas to make sure that the staff can walk through the pens safely or get out if they need to, which we find they very rarely need to do. And when we did that, we didn't actually have sow-to-sow contact in mind, but what we did identify was we actually installed them in back-to-back designs, and so that a group of four sows at any given point can all kind of meet in the middle and have a bit of a mother's meeting, and they often do. So it's actually really nice and rewarding to see, especially the gilts. They'll have a little bit of a chat to each other and, you know, just go, oh, we're in our new pen now. How are you feeling about that? I'm feeling okay. How are you feeling about it? So they really do have that sow to sow contact, and we know that the pigs are social animals. They live in social groups in the wild. In Australia, we now house all of our sows in group gestation pens, and so we know that sow to sow contact is incredibly important. So yeah, that was actually one of the things that we didn't anticipate was going to have a real positive outcome on the animal, but we really do think it does. With regards to the other welfare advantages, one of the other key ones, and I kind of mentioned it before when I was talking about the really high dividing walls that the research coming out of Europe was suggesting was really important. What we found was when we dropped the walls, because the sows can take in their entire environment in that farrowing room, so they can turn around and they can see, you know, every single aspect of what's happening in that. So whether there's a stock person walking through, feed cart, whether that's another sow, whether that's another litter next door, she has full visibility over her entire environment. And for us, that's all about control. The sow can actually see, interpret, and then react to her environment. Whereas if you think about it in a farrowing crate, they can only face their feeder and they can't see what's happening either side of them. So if there's a big bang or a noise behind the sow, she can't interpret that and sort of decide whether that's actually threatening for her or whether it's safe and she just needs to ignore it. So what we did was apply a startle test, and what it involved was playing a loud adverse stimuli to the sow. So we banged a door really hard, and we did that three times, and we did that about 3 minutes apart, and we did that in early and late lactation for those sows. And what we were able to identify was that the sows in a maternity ring, because they could actually take in their environment, they could see the technical officer that was making that sound and understand that that wasn't threatening. The ones in the maternity ring, up for the first startle, they reacted quite negatively. So they all jumped up and thought, what is that? Turned around. But by the third adverse stimuli, they didn't even flinch. They didn't even move. They understood that it wasn't threatening to them. Whereas the sows in the farrowing crate really still had that massive reaction to the adverse stimuli, straight, you know, even by the third test. So again, like I said to you before, Tara, when we dropped those walls, the sow was able to interact, understand her environment, you know, decide when things are threatening, decide when things are not, and adjust her behaviour accordingly. So we found that in our first foundation paper. And what's interesting is once we've rolled these maternity rings out across all of our farms, every single production manager or every single farrowing house attendant or every single visitor to our farms can't fathom how calm these sows are in the farrowing house compared to traditional farrowing crates. So for me, that's a huge welfare advantage. They can interpret and understand their environment and understand that they're in a safe space, and they've adjusted their behaviour accordingly. So that was a really cool finding that really has translated to huge benefits across our systems.
Yeah, and I agree. It's, you know, just walking into a room is completely different when you walk into a room with the maternity rings, because they don't startle. They know, they can see you coming in the door. Know that it's, you know, just another person that was walking through, et cetera. So really, really neat observations on behavior that, you know, we didn't understand before, for sure, or at least I didn't. So Kate, tell me what, just a bit about the piglet then. What are, step into a few of the welfare advantages that you've seen or looked at, found in the piglet side.
Yeah, so I mentioned the third publication that we've got coming out, Tara, which has just been accepted. So that'll show the productivity or the performance of those piglets. And what we've identified is that it is it's completely on parity. So the number of piglets born and weaned is exactly the same in a maternity ring as it is in a farrowing crate. And the survivability of those piglets, the live-born survival rates are exactly the same. So for me, that's probably one of the biggest welfare advantages compared to other free farrowing systems. We've conducted a meta-analysis of all the available data and all the available published information and been able to demonstrate that the relative risk of mortality of piglets in free farrowing is about 14% higher. So you can imagine being crushed by a sow, feeling breathlessness, being injured. All these things have a huge negative welfare impost on the piglet. So that's probably the easiest one to quote, is that the fact that we're getting similar survivability of our piglets in these maternity rings is probably the highest important welfare indicator for me. Some of the other things that we're seeing are improved weaning weights. So across most of our systems and farms that have them installed, their claim, our productivity managers are finding about a half a kilogram improvement in weaning weight. And we think that's just because the piglets can feed better from the sow. So if you look at how a sow feeds in a farrowing crate, often they hold their legs at about a 90-degree angle from the body, and that's simply because they just don't have room to move their legs any further. Whereas in our maternity ring, the sows can lie with their legs further out. And so I'd love to get some data behind this. I'm sure we will one day. But just the ease of access of the udder, we think that there's probably, as the piglets get older, there's less niggling and fighting at the udder for access to teat space. And so they just find that we're probably getting an improvement in growth in those piglets really in that last week of lactation. Again, because there's less disputes at the udder and things like that, we're seeing less things like facial injuries and body injuries on the piglets at weaning. And so we think that's just because of the sow's ability to stretch out and feed her litter more calmly and more appropriately, which is good. One of the other things probably with regards to piglet welfare, Tara, is they can actually reach up and contact each other as well. So I mentioned those really low dividing walls. By the time those piglets are ready to be weaned, we're seeing piglet contact between the litters as well. And there's been a lot of research to show that pre-weaning socialization, it has a really positive benefit for piglets, especially after weaning. So we don't have any data to support this at the moment, and we'll be doing some experimental work in 2026 to show this. But yeah, just nose-to-nose contact between litters before weaning, I think, has the potential really to improve post-weaning performance.
Yeah, absolutely. If you think about it, those piglets really, you know, they don't kind of know their neighbors. Like the sows have, you know, you mentioned they have a bit of a meeting, you know, with each other, a mother's meeting. Well, the piglets don't know anything other than their cohorts in their litter. And then you wean them, you know, put them on a truck, transport them to a new environment, and they have all new, you know, neighbors and stimulus. And so this gets them some of that beforehand. And it just makes sense when you think about it, you know, intuitively, but really neat to see that. I also got to observe those piglets interacting with each other through the bars, and was you know, just really an interesting observation. So let's talk about those performance improvements. So you mentioned the weaning weights, which makes total sense to me that they're able to access that you know, udder better without the bars or the fingers or, you know, the crush bars that we call them. You know, anything on the sows? Do you see better performance on them or less weight loss, et cetera? Tell me about the sow as well on the performance improvements.
Yeah, so we actually have a study at one of our New Zealand farms, which is due to wrap up, I think, in March next year, Tara. And to my knowledge, it will be the first that looks at sow retention or sow longevity in a side-by-side comparison between a free-farrowing system and a farrowing crated system. We did a pilot investigation at one of our farms in South Australia, and were able to show that things like wean to service interval, conception rate, and farrowing rate were improved in sows that were weaned out of a maternity ring system. So that kind of gave us the trust and motivation to go into that large experiment that we've got in New Zealand. So we haven't actually pulled the data out of the herd performance recording software just yet. We're waiting till those sows reach the fourth parity, which, as I mentioned to you, is March. But all of our you know, indications would suggest that we think that, well, we're not seeing improved feed intake in the system. We were able to show that in our first paper. But what we did see was less feed wastage. So if you think about it, sows, when they're facing a farrowing crate, in a farrowing crate design, all they do is look at their feeder all day long. And so what we were finding is that sows were actually, you know, pulling out the feed too quickly. It was going stale, and we're having to clean out feeders a lot more frequently. We were able to show that there is less feed wastage in a maternity ring compared to a farrowing crate system. But what we were able to show as well was that they maintained their body condition better. So they didn't eat anymore. But they did not lose as much back fat as the sows in a farrowing crate. And we think that that's probably just because of they're healthier. You know, they're able to move around. They're able to as I mentioned before, interact and have social contact and all those types of things. That would reduce stress levels in these sows. And we know that stress and immune activation actually increases metabolic rate. So they're burning through food quicker to maintain. And so we think that that's probably what's happening in these maternity ring sows. And then, yeah, as I mentioned to you before, the pilot study that we did in South Australia would suggest this is having improvements for reproductive capacity, but we'll wait to see for the New Zealand study whether this holds through to parity 4 or 5.
Yeah, really exciting information and, you know, ongoing research to understand all the aspects of it is just great. You know, the best thing, I guess, for me, kind of a deal breaker when it comes to other systems adopting this and other systems I've seen is that pre-weaning mortality on those piglets was always so much, you know, worse than a crated farrowing pen. And so getting through that was probably the, you know, the biggest hallmark of this technology in my mind is, you know, that stumbling block. Gave you the opportunity to explore it even more and implement it where I haven't seen other people be able to do.
It didn't come easy, Tara. I think we're up to prototype number 10, and every single change that we've made has seemed very minor. For example, the ring heights, making sure that it was high enough so that the sow didn't get stuck under it, but low enough to actually make sure that the piglets were saved. Things like flooring, we've played around with four or five different types of flooring, which we know has a big impact. And then, you know, things like creep area, what's the best temperature, how do we put that with the ambient temperature of the farrowing house. So we've taken all of these designs and management attributes that we know are now making this system work. And we're training up the people that are installing them, training up our staff in how to care for these cells. So yeah, it seems simple, and we thought it was going to be, but it's taken 10 years to get it to where they're, like I said, on parity with farrowing crates.
Yeah, that's a long time, but it definitely sounds like you guys have worked through the issues and found something that you're having success with. So very exciting. So tell me about the future plans for the maternity ring with the Sunport Group.
Yeah, so Tara, in Australia, we've phased out our gestation stalls. All of our sows are housed in groups now. Sunport also committed to getting rid of mating stalls. So we were still using stalls for 24 hours around mating. But we've now removed every stall, so all of our sows are group mated. So for us, the last period of confinement was in a farrowing crate, and we think we've now come up with a system that's going to work. So Sunport are now committed to no close confinement, so no sow will be housed in a system under close confinement, hopefully in the next 5 years. We have over 1,000 maternity rings installed across our farms currently. And as I just mentioned, the plan is to get rid of every farrowing crate over the next 5 to 10 years and replace it with a maternity ring. It'll take us some time. Estimates are probably at about a cost of about $100 million Australian for us to do this. So that's why we'll take it slow. But we're absolutely publicly committed to removing farrowing crates across every single one of our farms in Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, great. What a long time to take to get there and then to phase in and out. But what a really cutting edge technology that you guys have been able to do in the area of sow welfare. So excellent. So today we've been discussing the development of the maternity ring by Dr. Kate Plush and the Sunport Group out of Australia. I want to say thank you to our listeners. And if you have questions or comments, send those through your podcast platform. If you liked our show today, give us a thumbs up. Kate, do you have any final thoughts or take homes for our listeners from today's conversations about your long quest to develop this maternity ring?
If anything, Tara, as I mentioned, it's been a battle. I think that you should never say never. I'm getting goosebumps. I never thought that in my research career in pigs and in swine, I would ever see the phase out of farrowing crates. I thought that was probably something that was maybe for the next generation. Holding true, never giving up and just keeping on your path. I think, for me, it's just been an enormous journey that I'm so proud of and could not be more proud of a company like Sunport that really never gave up. So.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Very, very great thing to do and to help the whole industry in kind of finding our way to improve the sow welfare.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Vaxinova, formulate to your needs. Custom-made vaccines. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Tired of solving swine nutrition challenges alone? The Swine Nutrition Inner Circle connects swine nutritionists who share real insights on formulation, ingredient variability, and diet adjustments. When you need clarity, experts are just a conversation away. Join at swinenutritioninnercircle.com and connect with peers who understand the work you do every day.
So, Dr. Kate, before I let you go, the hallmark of our SwineIt podcast show is to ask our guest a few thought-provoking questions just to learn a little bit more about them and to challenge us to continue learning. So, Kate, what's a book or resource that's your go-to in your area of expertise?
I'm probably pretty boring in this, Tara. Being a scientist, I am constantly on Google Scholar. So I just really take in every single new publication that has anything to do with pigs, whether that's nutrition, reproduction. I'm a welfare scientist by trade, so any publication that's looking at improvements in animal welfare for me it's always on one of my tabs open on Google, and it's checked daily. So just try and absorb as much information and new research as I can.
Absolutely. Well, a true scientist to have the Google Scholar be your go-to. So, but we need that for sure, especially in today's science challenging environment. So how about a book or resource not related to the swine industry that you recommend others check out?
Oh God, I'm going to be boring again, Tara. And I think that being a scientist, you'll probably, it bleeds through to this as well. I've got a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old child, and we're in the car a lot together. So we love the Stuff You Should Know podcast. I think that I can sometimes become very narrow-minded in what I read and what I listen to. And I think those two guys on that podcast are fantastic. And, you know, to learn about things like how orthodontics came about, or, you know, where, you know, Christmas trees originated from, I think just opens my mind. And for me to share my love of understanding things with my two kids is really important. So we literally, get updates from that podcast every single day.
Yeah. That sounds like, that sounds like a fun one, especially for the age of your kids, something you guys can talk about together. So, that sounds fun. I am familiar with that one. So lastly, Kate, share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
That's an easy one for me, Tara, because it's been instilled in me from, a couple of mentors that I've got in my career, and that's integrity. We as scientists are data driven and often lose sight of what happens to that data, or how that data is taken on board and integrated into things like business decisions. Science is so important to a company like SunPork, and we think that really data and the way that you use data should be driven by integrity, because we can interpret things any way that we like. So for me, a lot of the people that I look up to and aspire to have always said to me, if you don't have integrity, you don't have anything. So that's an easy one.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And again, as a scientist and working in data your entire life, having good data that you can depend on, that's done in the right way and with a lot of thought, to make a really good decision is so important in a business like SunPork, and really in any kind of business enterprise. So, no, excellent. I agree. Well, thank you so much, Kate, for being my guest today. Really fun to talk to you, fun to share what you guys have been doing on the show, and look forward to next time.
Hey, thank you, Tara. It's been an absolute joy.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.